I want to speak about the Nisayon, the test of Akedas Yitzchak. What exactly was the test? In other words, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking for? That Avram should say, no, I'm not going to sacrifice my son? That can't be, because what would he gain? You know, he can't say, well, I'm going to keep my kid alive, whether you like it or not. I mean, God could give him a heart attack, a stroke, send a lightning bolt, and that's the end of Yitzchak. And then Avram Avinu has tzaras because he didn't listen to God, and he doesn't have Yitzchak. So what would he gain by refusing? So he couldn't refuse. It was an offer he couldn't refuse. So then what was the test? So I want to say that the test was, and there are others that say similar ideas, the test was, would Avram Avinu do it even though he didn't understand and be willing to give up everything because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it? Or would he make cheshbonos and do it because he came to a conclusion that this was a good thing to do for him? Even though on the surface it seemed very, very negative, but Avram would distort things and twist them around and come out that really this is a good thing to do. And therefore, the Nisayon basically was, would Avram be able to function with total love to God? Total love means I'm willing to give up everything for the Ribbono Shel Olam. My love for God is so great that it overpowers everything. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for Him. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha. Right? And there's nothing in the world that can stand in the way of that love. There's no greater love, no greater importance, no greater need than love. Love of God is so overwhelming and so overpowering that everything else disappears in its place. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, explains that love of God is where you see and understand the wisdom of God in creation, and you have this tremendous desire to want to know God and to attach yourself to Him. That's the first level of love. Then it reaches a much higher level of love where it's total awe, where I realize how insignificant I am and what I think and what I know compared to God's knowledge, and I feel like a nothing compared to God. And therefore I'm willing to give up everything because nothing is important if it stands in the way of love of God. That's what the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. With love, I'm willing to give up everything. There's nothing in the world that is worth anything because that's all in my estimation. But God knows so much more. His understanding, His knowledge is so much greater than whatever I could think would be negative, and not to give it up for the love of God. Obviously God knows better, and I'm willing to give up everything for my connection, my love of God. So even though it says in the Akedah, Ato Yodati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, now I know you're a God-fearing person, but it means the higher level of fear. There's three levels. There's what's called Yira, regular fear. Fear doesn't mean that I do God's will because I'm afraid I'm getting zapped by a lightning bolt. That's the lowest, lowest level, where you're afraid of getting punished. But fear includes the following. I've come to the conclusion that it's good for me to serve God. And if I don't do it, I'm going to lose out. I'll lose Olam Haba, I won't be as perfect as I can be, whatever it may be. But it's not love of God, it's concern for my, it's self-concern. Sometimes it appears like you're doing something that you love it, but it really it's not love of the thing, it's self-concern. The Kutzker Rebbe brings it out in the following way. He once saw a student of his saying Shema with great kavana. V'yohavtas Hashem Elokecha, should love God, and it looked like he really was into it. So after davening, he went over to him. He said, when you said that V'yohavtas Hashem, should love God, did you mean you love God or you love yourself? He said, what does that mean? Of course, I meant I love God. He said, no. Because when a person says he loves herring, right? What does that mean? He carries a little herring in his pocket all the time and every once in a while gives it a hug and a kiss because he really loves it. No, what it means is that he likes to eat herring because herring tastes good. And he loves to eat herring. So what does he really love? Himself. doesn't love the herring. Adarabba, he devours the herring, right? So it's not that he loves the herring, he loves himself. And he's willing to devour the herring for self-love. But he calls it loving herring. Same thing, maybe your love of God is self-love, right? You're willing to do what God wants because you realize it's good for you. That's very nice, but that's not the highest level. The highest level is that you have such an admiration and awe and appreciation of who God is, you're willing to sacrifice everything for him. Because nothing is worth anything in this world, right, if it negates your connection to God. That's the real level of love. And therefore, the test was, would Avram Avinu function only where he understood what he was doing and came to the conclusion it's good for him? Or would he function even where he didn't understand and on the surface it looked like this was giving up everything that was important to him except for his love of God? To obey God even if it meant you give up everything because God knows better, and somehow, right, that is more important than anything else could be in this world. That was the test. And therefore, it makes sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Kach no, please pass this test, because if you don't pass this test, people will say the other nine were meaningless. Now that doesn't make sense on the surface. Because if somebody has 10 tests to take, and they're in increasingly difficulty, and the last one is the hardest, and he passes 9 of them, but not the 10th, people aren't going to say the first 9 weren't worth anything. They were going to say the person reached a certain level, but he couldn't reach the highest level. But they're not going to say because he couldn't do the hardest one that the other ones were nothing. He could do the easier ones, he couldn't do the harder ones. But the idea is, if Avram Avinu would not pass this test, meaning he wouldn't do it even though he thought that it was totally negative for him. I don't understand this. I think I'm giving up everything that's precious to me in the world, but God's love is more precious. If that wouldn't be his attitude, but his attitude would be to start distorting and figuring out why it's right to kill your kid. I'm doing it for his sake. I'm doing it. It's the best thing for me to have a son that I sacrificed. And he did it because he convinced himself that this also was good for him, and that would be the level of fear, then people would say the first Nisyonos also. He didn't do it because God said. He did it because he figured out that it's a good thing for him to do. So they weren't. He didn't really pass any of the tests. He did them because he figured they're good for him to do. Right? He did it because he wanted to do it, because he imagined that going to Eretz Israel, Lech Lecha. I did it because God said that I'm going to benefit, so I'm doing because of the benefit. It's good for me to go, okay, I'm leaving my past, but I'm getting a good future. But by the Akedah, he had two choices. One, both to do it. To do it even though he thought he was losing his future. I'm destroying my entire future. This son is my future, physically, spiritually. I'm destroying everything I work for in this world. I'm willing to do it because of love for God. That was passing the test. Or Avram would have said, you know what, it looks like I'm destroying my whole future, but really it's not like that. I'm doing my son a favor by killing him, al-Kiddush Hashem, his neshama will really benefit from it in Gan Eden. So I'm going to do it because I'm really doing my son a favor. And I'm doing me a favor too, because probably I'll have other children, or God will bring them back, resurrection of the dead, something's going to happen. It's really going to work out for the good. Right? That doesn't mean I'm totally negating my desire to God. Because out of love, it means that I'm doing it because I've contrived a way of thinking that this is what's good for me. Not because I'm doing God's will, even if it may not be good for me. I don't know. I don't understand. To me, it looks not good, but I am willing to totally negate my mind and my will for God's will. That's a much higher level. Okay? There's two levels of doing God's will. One is called Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha. Our will is to do your will, but it starts with our will. I think this is what's good for me, and it happens to be that God wants me to do that, so I'm going to do it because it's good for me. The second one is much higher. Asei ritzono kirtzonecha. Make his will like your will. If this is what God wants, that's what I want, whether I understand it or not, whether it appears to me beneficial or not, I'm going to do it anyway, because I understand God knows better than me. So even though in my estimation I'm giving up everything, but I'm willing to do that. That was the test. Would Avram do it with the first attitude or the second attitude? And if he did it with the second attitude, I've come to the conclusion this is the greatest thing for me, then really he's not listening to God's will. He's basically doing what he thinks is good for him. It happens to be that it coincides with what God wants. But if it wouldn't be something that I could consider rationally that's good for me, I wouldn't do it. So therefore, all the other nine tests also, people would say, oh, he only did them because he thought it was good for him. Not because he subjugated himself to God's will, but because he figured out that's what's good for him. And that takes away the greatness of the passing of the test almost completely. And therefore, I think we can explain why right before the Akedah comes two other, what's it called, parshios, that are like a preface to the Akedah. The first one is throwing Yishmael out of the house and listening to Sarah. And the second one is making the bris with Avimelech. If this, in this light, is what the test of Avram was, whether he'll do it thinking he's sacrificing everything, but still do it out of love for God, or he'll do it because he contrives reasons why it's good for him. That's the test. Not will he do it or not do it. He's going to do it anyway. He has no choice. But what's going to be the attitude? Then both of these parashiyos were necessary to bring him to the test. First one. If Avram Avinu had a feeling that even if he sacrifices Yitzchak, he can fall back on Yishmael. He's not giving up everything. His future's not lost. He has another son, Yishmael. Yishmael will be his heir. Yishmael will be his spiritual heir. And I still have a son left in the world from Hagar. Then the test wouldn't have been, then the result wouldn't have been so great. Because he didn't think he's sacrificing everything for God. He had something to fall back on. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to get rid of Hagar, so there wasn't a chance anymore in his mind of ever having another child with Hagar that would be okay, because Hagar's child is no good. Goreshes, send the mother and the child. The mother's not fit to bring an heir to Avram, a real heir, and the child's not fit. So he doesn't have a Yishmael to be his heir, and he doesn't have the opportunity of having another child with Hagar that would be an heir. Both are unfit. Send them both away. Why? So the Torah says that Hagar saw Yishmael mitzachek. Rashi says mitzachek means that he was dabbling in murder, in immorality, and idolatry. Those are pretty hefty things, right? And then it says, she told Avram, send away this woman and her child, kilo yirash ben ho'amaz zosim b'niyim yitzchak, because he won't inherit with my son. What's to do with inheritance? She wants him out of the house because he's a Rasha. In addition to that, if he was such a Rasha, later on when he's dying, right, there's a din in Shemayim whether his life should be saved or not. And the angels say, his descendants are going to harm your children. Right, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they went into Golus, they fooled them, they brought them salty fish and things that looked like water, canteens, and they were full of air. They ate the fish, they were so thirsty, they took the canteens and the air burst their stomachs. They died because of that. This is what the Arabs did to us. So the angel said, don't save his life. His descendants are going to harm the Jewish people. So God said to them, right now, is he a tzaddik or a rasha? They said, they had to admit, right now, he's okay. So he said, I judge people the way they are now. What's not going to happen with their descendants later on? But according to Rashi, Sarah saw that the guy was an idolater, an adulterer, and a murderer. How could he be okay right now? The answer is, she didn't see him doing all these sins. You know what Yishmael did, according to the Medrash? After they made a big party celebrating Yitzchak's birth, Yishmael was laughing at it. He was mocking it, because there were people who said, Sarah didn't get pregnant so many years with Avram. All of a sudden, Avimelech takes her and she gets pregnant. Probably it's from Avimelech. This is not Avram's son. And therefore, Yitzchak wanted to take away the Yerusha. This kid isn't my father's son. He's the son of Avimelech. And I'm the only one who's a son of Avram. And I, therefore, when Avram dies, I get the whole Yerusha. So Sarah saw in that laughter that this kid, deep down inside, had no connection to Avram Avinu. Why? Because if he could believe and make light of the fact that he thinks that Avimelech and Sarah lived immorally, that means he has a netiyah towards immorality. That immorality is not something way beyond his understanding or whatever. It's something that, you know, is possible by him. And that's why if you suspect somebody else of something, right, and it's wrongly, it's obviously that you have that problem. So obviously that he has a weakness for immorality. Beyond that, to embarrass Yitzchak, to say that he's the son of Avimelech, that he came from an illicit relationship, is embarrassing publicly. That's like murder. And stealing away his inheritance, stealing is also like murder. So and not believing God, who said that Sarah would have children from Avraham, and thinking it came from Avimelech is like Avodah Zarah. It's like denying the truth of prophecy, denying God's word. So that's like Avodah Zarah. So in that laughter about the fact that Yishmael had this idea that he's probably not even my father's son, probably came from an illicit relationship with Avimelech, Sarah saw the roots of idolatry, adultery, and murder. But he hadn't done any of those sins, so he still was a tzaddik. But she said, this kid is obviously not the spiritual heir of Avram. That's what she said. Because I saw Lo Yirash Ben HaAmazos in Bnei Yitzchak. He won't inherit with my son the spiritual heir of Avram Avinu. Therefore, get him out of the house. There's no chance for him. Right? Let him go and develop himself. And in the end, that's what happened. What did he become? An archer, connection to spilling blood, and his mother took him a wife from Mitzrayim who were immoral. So he had a connection too. The only one that didn't come out was idolatry. And that's why the Arabs are murderers. They are immoral, but they believe in God. That much, they don't serve Avodah Zarah. They're not like the Christians. Islam is not Avodah Zarah. Very far removed. That much, yeah. That's why it says, God told Avram, so it says, what's it called? God told, listen to Sarah, even though if you don't understand it. Avram didn't see it. But Shema Bikola, my Rosh Yeshiva says, Rabbi Gifter Zatzal, Shema Bikol, not listen to what she said, listen to her voice, means when you don't understand what's unintelligible. Words, Amira, Dibur, is where it's intelligible. To you, what Sarah is saying is unintelligible. You don't understand. Why? Just throw away your skin. She sees better than you. Listen to her even though you don't understand it. That was a preparation to listen to God even though you don't understand it. Later. That was the preparation for the Akedah. And also, since God was setting him up to see if he's willing to sacrifice his entire future for love of God, he had to feel that he's sacrificing it. But as he thought he had something to fall back on, a Yishmael, then it wouldn't be a full test. So therefore, first, God got Yishmael out of the house to show Avram that there's no continuation with Yishmael. It says that, Ki bi Yitzchak yikori l'chazora, your seed, your heir is only Yitzchak. And not all of Yitzchak. There'll be a Yaakov and an Esav, only one of them. That's what God intimated to him. Yishmael is out of the picture. And the next sentence says, but Yishmael, I'm going to make a great person, ki zarachu, because he is your seed. Which is it? Is he a seed or not the seed? The answer is, he's physically, biologically, your child. And therefore, I'm going to make him a great nation. And it'll save him, at least he won't be an idol worshiper. That much, yes. But he's not your spiritual heir, because he's a different person. Only Yitzchak is your spiritual heir. So at that point, Avram realized that if God wants him to get rid of Yitzchak, then he has nothing to fall back on. Yishmael is out of the picture. So is Hagar. He can't have another child with Hagar, maybe be a better one. Hagar's children are out of the picture, and Yishmael's out of the picture. So there's no future. So now God set him up for this test. Are you willing to sacrifice everything? because it's now it's a sacrifice of everything. There's no Yishmael to stand in the background to be a stand-in. And he's already gotten a little practice in listening when it doesn't make sense to him, and is saying, you know, out of love for my wife, I'm willing to listen to her and assume that she knows better than me, even though I don't understand it. Then when God told him to do something he doesn't understand, he's willing to listen, totally negate himself and subjugate himself to that without trying to find out convoluted and contrived reasons why it's best for me, why it's really okay, and I'm doing it because I really understand it's a good thing to do. That set him up for the test. And the second thing was that he started to do the opposite. Now he knows that Yitzchak is his heir. God promised this land to Yitzchak, and Avimelech offers to make a covenant with him that would circumvent that promise. And now God said, I'm going to give this land to your heirs, and they're going to have to destroy every man, woman, and child from the nations that are here, and you're making a bris because you figure that strategically this is the best thing to do. So you decide that you're going to do what you think is right, even though it's in contradiction to what I told you. So now let's give you a test and see if that's really what's going on here, or are you going to be willing to give up everything? Are you going to be willing to give up everything, right? Are you going to be willing to give up everything and not make contrived ideas that you know better or whatever, or what's good for you or whatever? Because you've shown by making this covenant with Avimelech that you're willing to do what you think is good, even if it's in contradiction to what I told you. I promised you this land. What are you making brisim and covenants with Avimelech? You don't need that. I promised you the land. You only need a bris and a covenant where you have a situation where you need to make compromises or whatever. Why do you have to make compromises for? Isn't my bris with you and my promise to you more than Avimelech? So because of that God now tested him to see if that was what was involved, or maybe it was just a quirk. So the test came after he made this bris with Avimelech to test to see if he's willing to give up everything for God. That would have shown that his bris with Avimelech wasn't so serious. And in order that it should be a test that he's giving up everything, Yishmael had to be invalidated first. And he had to have a little practice of listening when it didn't make sense to him, where he listened to Sarah where it didn't make sense. Those were the preparation for this test. Now, that's why when the Rebbe Lashem came to test him, he said the following. Kach noa es bincha. Right? He started with noa, please. Please pass this test. Please shows a certain amount of love. I have a relationship of love with you. I want you to prove your love to me, and I am doing this out of love for you.
Hashem
see, what?
Sorry, Hashem said
that? Hashem said, Kach noa es bincha, please. So God told him, look, this is a test of love. I am asking you, please, which means I have tremendous love for you. I want to test and see what your love for me is. And then he told him, as bincha, so Avram said, but I have two sons. No, he said, yichidcha, your only son. He said, well, this one's the only son to this mother, and this one's the only son to that mother. So I'm still not sure which son you mean. He said, asher ahavta, the one that you loved. He said, but I love both of them. Now here, my grandson, Avi Jacobson, let me mention him, because this is probably going to go onto the website, so give him the credit. On Sukkot, asked me a following question. He's learning in school, Vayera. He said, why does it say Asher Ohavta, that you loved, in the past tense? Why didn't it say Asher Ata Ohev, who you love now? Why do you say in the past tense, the one you loved? Based on what I'm telling you now, that God wanted Avram Avinu to mull over the fact that it can't be Yishmael. Okay? First, yeah, okay, Bincha could be Yishmael, he's my son, biologically. Yechidcha, he is an only son because he's an only one to his mother. He's the one I loved. Now he doesn't love him because he threw him out of the house. He hasn't spoken to him for who knows how long, right? So if you don't speak to somebody and you distance them, that's not love. Now, he may not have hated him with a passion, but the love means an affinity, a connection, a bond. He broke that bond with Ishmael. So if he would have said, Asher Ata Oe, the one you love in the present, he would have known right away it means Yitzchak and not Ishmael. And God wanted to give him the time to mull over that, well, maybe he means Ishmael. So he said, Asher Ahavta, that you loved in the past. I was thinking other reasons why too. If God would have said the one you love, Avram could have said the following. Since God made this conditional on my love for Yitzchak, and that's why I have to go and slaughter him, because he's the one I love, well, I don't love him anymore. So now I don't have to do it. Right? So God didn't give him that option. I'm talking about the one that you loved. Whether you love him now or not is irrelevant. But you loved him before, so therefore not loving him now is not gonna make it okay not to slaughter him. You did love him in the past, that's a fact. So he didn't mention loving him now, because Avram then could have made some kind of convoluted idea and say, well, God only said because I love him, I don't love him anymore, so therefore I won't sacrifice him. In any case, so, and even though the Alter from Slabodka says something tremendous, he says, Asher Ahavta, Avram said, I love both of them. So, what do you mean love? He threw the guy out of your house. But sometimes you need tough love. And the reason he threw Yishmael out of the house was for Yishmael's sake too. Yishmael benefited from it. He didn't end up an idol worshiper, at least, because of this traumatic thing. So, Lumaisa, Avram said, I love both of them. But even according to the Alter from Slabodka, that when he threw him out of the house, he still loved him. But once he's out of the house and he's separated from him, right, that's not called love anymore. That's a break in the love. He may not hate him emotionally, but the bond of love is not there because the kid is separated from him. He threw him out of the house. So it's Asher Ahavta. Yes, you loved him up until the point that you threw him out, including the point you threw him out. But at this point, you've been separated from him. It's not, that's not love. So it can't be Yishmael. It must mean Yitzchak. But if we would say the one you love now, it would have to mean Yitzchak. Therefore God said, no, the ones that you loved in the past, giving him the feeling, well, maybe it's Ishmael. And then he said, as Yitzchak, Yitzchak is Yitzchak, and Ishmael is not Yitzchak, and ki bi Yitzchak yikari lechazara, your heir is only Yitzchak. I want you to take the one who's your heir and kill him, not the other one, and you have nothing then to fall back on, because Ishmael is not Yitzchak and he's not the heir. That already, what's it called, was established before this. So now the test is a real test. Is Avram going to be able to destroy his entire future, everything that makes sense to him, and for the sake of love of God? Or is he going to do it and start making contrived ideas why it's the best thing to do? Oh well, it's good to kill Yitzchak because he'll be a martyr, and you know, what's it called, this way I don't need kids, you know, and have who knows what's going to happen in the future. This way at least I have a son in Shemayim who's going to be a Melech Yosher. Avram could come up with a million reasons why it's a good thing to do. Not that he's totally negating himself to God. Okay. And that's why he told him, he hinted to him, you're giving up everything. I want you to take your son. Okay? And that's love of a natural love of a father for a son. I want you to give up that love and kill your son because of love for me is more. So you're giving up your, it's a part of you. It's like giving up your soul. B'chol nafshecha. You're giving up your son. Your son is an extension of you. It's like killing yourself. Worse than killing yourself. Killing your child. Secondly, es bincha es yechidcha. There's something special about this son, that he's the only one to the mother. So it's love for your wife that you're giving up. You're killing her only son. That's the wife's love. Asher Ahavta. Aside from that, you have love for this child, right? Because he's your heir, right? I want you to negate that too. And he's Yitzchak. Yitzchak could be the progenitor of a Jewish people. You're giving that up too. So it's on every level. On the level of your own physical being, you're giving up. You're giving up love for your wife. You're giving up love for what's it called, for something good, right? Your love for this child. And you're giving up, what's it called, That's b'chol moldecha. This is the love that you have for what your legacy in this world is. He's going to create the nation that's going to, after your death, carry on your beliefs. So you're giving up everything that you, all of your possessions, right? B'chol moldecha. And finally, Yitzchak, you're destroying mamish, the future of the Jewish people. So all of that, that's what God wanted Avram to hear. And now the test is, are you going to be willing to do that? Or are you going to try to make excuses, do it, but with excuses why it's a good thing to do? Why you're not giving up all that, you're gaining. You're not doing it out of love for God, you're doing it because it makes sense to you now in your convoluted way that this is what's best for you. And that would have not been not passing the test. He would have done it, but he would have done it with the wrong attitude. So now, that's why the it says in the end, Yana Shirasisa Sadavar, you did this, and you were willing to sacrifice your son. The action itself, for that you get one reward. You were willing to destroy your son, I'm going to give you more children and make you, what's it called, a great nation. Ki harba arba zaracha, right? I'm going to make you have a lot of children. That's midah keneged midah. You were willing to give up your child, I'm going to give you more children. But that's because you did what you did. But you could have done it with the wrong attitude. That wasn't that, and then you wouldn't have passed the test with flying colors. If you would have done it because you thought that it was a good thing to do, it would have been nice, but it wouldn't have been the full test. But eikiv asher shomata bikoli, because you listened to my voice and not my words, meaning you didn't understand what I was saying. You didn't understand why it would be good. In your mind, it was the most terrible thing that could happen to you. You're giving up everything. But it was still worth to give up everything for love of God. Because you did that, the nivruchu b'cha kol goyo, the whole world will be blessed through you. That's a much higher level. It's not just you'll have a lot of kids and you'll be a nation. You will be my representative in the world. Because you were willing to negate yourself and subjugate yourself totally to me. Mind, body, soul, future, everything. So that's what's it called? That you got, not because you did it, because of the attitude you had when you did it. That's a second reward. Eikiv asher shamata bikoli, because you listened to my voice, not necessarily my words. You didn't understand it, but you were willing to totally do what in your mind was total self-destruction. But I'm doing it because of love of God. If God wants it, I'm doing it. Even if it means total self-destruction. That was the second reward.
What was the first one?
First one was because you did it. Even if you did it with the wrong attitude, you would still deserve a reward. You're willing to listen to me, right? So you weren't on the highest level. But not only were you willing to listen to me, but you were willing to do it without trying to understand it, without making up reasons why it's good for you. You did it with the full knowledge that you're destroying your future, and you're willing to destroy your future for me. Right? Give up your life for me, give up your property for me, give up everything for me. That's called Avas Hashem. That's for your haftas, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha. Even if you have to give up everything in this world. And that was your attitude. You're talking giving up everything. But it's worth it because I love God, and I trust Him. And therefore, even though He wants me to give up everything, I'm willing to do that. That was a much higher level. That means he heard God's voice, not his words. So therefore, and when we say Shema, and Avram thinking about doing that, he never did it. But he did it vicariously through the aisle. And therefore, even the thought that now came out Lamaisa through the aisle as if it happened to Yitzchak. He's on such a high level, he's willing to give up everything. When he sacrificed the ram, it was as if he was sacrificing Yitzchak. He was doing with the same attitude. God never told him to sacrifice a ram. But he now was able to bring out his idea, this is in place of Yitzchak, and I'm doing it. If it would have been Yitzchak, I would have done it also. So Avraham Avinu actually carried out sacrificing everything for God. He did it through the aisle. And therefore, what's it called? That aisle is the remembrance of Akedas Yitzchak. It's as if Yitzchak was done. So you see from there that if you do something in thought, the thought itself is like an action. So when we say Kriyashma, we say we think about b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, if we at least reach some level that we're willing to do what we don't understand, what we don't think really is good for us, but I have faith that God knows better, and out of love for God, I'm willing to do it, even if I consider it destroying my future, my everything, giving up everything for God. So even though we're not on that level, and if we were called upon to do it actually, who knows what would be, but at least when we say Kriya Shema, we mentally picture it, then that in itself has a tremendous effect. And that's why it says when you say Kriya Shema, you should imagine that you're giving up everything. You're dying Al Kiddush Hashem. You're giving up everything, your very life, everything that's precious to you, for God, even if you're not on the level to actually do it. But if you could imagine it, that's also something. That's also something. You know, there is such a level, and you think about it, that's also something. Okay. Any questions on this? Yeah.
And the question is, what was he given up by as Bincha?
As Bincha means his physical heir, right? A physical child is my future. I'm not going to be here. He'll take my place physically. So that's Bincha. Then there's Yechidcha. That's love, the natural love that a father has for a son. A physical son. Any father. Then there's Yechidcha. That's love of his wife. This is my wife's only child. My only child from this wife. And I'm willing to forego that. That love of my wife, I'm willing to kill him. And then Ashira Hafta, aside from the natural fatherly love for anybody and the natural love for the wife, Ashira Hafta, you love him too. You have love, a separate love. Even if he wouldn't be your son, you love him. He's somebody special, somebody to love. You have a bond with him. And not only that, he's not just special, he is special, he's Yitzchak. And you're willing to destroy Yitzchak, what Yitzchak means for the future of the Jewish people, not just for you personally. That's all the different kinds of loves.
Sorry, what's
Bincha? Bincha means your the regular, natural, fatherly love for a biological son.
Oh, okay. As Asher Hafta, that's
what?
Special.
Now that's different. That even if he wouldn't be your son, right? But he's, what's it called, the son that you love. You have a bond with that kid, beside the fact is that he's your biological extension. There's something special about him specifically. And not only is he special to you, he's Yitzchak, special to the world. And you're willing to destroy that too? If God says to do it. Those are the levels.